Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Just Blaze. Tip, you ready?
All right, homeboy.
Here we go.
Uh-oh. I'm done playing with y'all. I can't catch out of you, but I can make an example out of a couple. Everybody, you know, real niggas don't relate to this shit right here. You understand that? Crayon hustle, nigga. Everybody who down with me, I already know they down with me, so I ain't worried about it. PSC. Hey. Anybody who knows somebody who spit that shit behind their back, what the fuck you say about me? Say the same thing when they get in their motherfucking face. I thought, tell them, nigga, I'm talking to you, nigga. I'm talking something about it.
You, hey. You sucker, nigga. You can stunt all you wanna stay. I know you won't bust a crack.
Yeah, punk.
I'm talking to you. Fuck, nigga. You can hate all you wanna hate. I know you won't make no mistake. Bitch, I'm talking to you. You so lame. You ashamed of the game.
Hey, I see.
You know what your name is. I'm talking to you. We can shoot it out whenever you wanna. This is whatever you wanna do. Fuck, I'm talking.
Hey, I'm the best you ever heard about. Fresher than you heard about. Yeah, I'm strapped now. Pussy, nigga. This ain't just word of mouth. For niggas with dirty mouth, I got a lot of clean pills to wash them out. I'm really finna give your ass some hottest shit to talk about. The goon hit the room, and now you asking what it's all about. Oh, you know it, you niggas splitting your bottom teeth and falling out. Got a problem with partner, I see him in the city and call him Mike. I'm pulling for the job, ain't shit. I'm getting all of mine. Pop and drop and call and plan to wake. Yeah, I feel for more. I give it to you straight, nigga. I don't need a metaphor. I'm in different ways. Sick to say I'm getting jailed or more, nigga. Twice as always, I'm popular, need a selling. I just sing it to a boss. Maybe he can tell you better, more. Patient in the afterlife, I waste in the afterlife. Even after my life, haters be after my life. Cause I'm doing those things for two and half of their life, man. I'm talking to you, sucker, nigga. You can stand all your wall.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 42. And right now, we're rocking out to some T.I. I'm talking to you off of that King album. Rock out with your boys. Yes, indeed, y'all. It's Sunday evening. Selection Sunday evening, as it is. The NCAA tournament is about to get kicked off, man. Like, conference tournaments and shit. Had the championship games today. All of that shit's going on. We're going to be talking a lot of basketball tonight. But, yeah, man. It's a lot going on. As a matter of fact, let me shut that shit down. I hear a lot of popping going on, bro. You hear that?
A little bit.
I hear a little popping going on. I don't know where that shit's coming from, but I'm hearing a little popping. But we are about to get off into this show, and let me let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and holler at us tonight if you're watching the show live here on Facebook at 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. And if you're watching live, you can call into the show and chop it up with your boys right here on the Beer and Chicken Podcast, right? Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod. I really need to fix that graphic. feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Go ahead and send us those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here and respond to you live here on the show as well. Chop it up with us both on Twitter and Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. The homeboy Walt is Walt Locked Down on these Twitter streets. So go ahead and follow us there. Chop it up with your mans throughout the week. Also, you can go to our website at www.beerandchickenpod.com. That's www.beerandchickenpod.com. Go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and the Span Report Podcast Network. And
And
you can go to the store, man, and cop yourself a t-shirt. cop yourself a coffee mug. Get you all of the Spam Report Podcast Network and Beer and Chicken Podcast needs that you have. You can wrap yourself up in that good quality shit. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and get you some stuff over at the Beer and Chicken Podcast store, over at the Spam Report Podcast Network store. Get you some Beer and Chicken shit over there, right? And also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We don't really fuck with y'all who leave us the 4-star reviews, the 3-star reviews, the 2-star reviews. We definitely don't fuck with y'all who leave those 1-star reviews. We'll read your shit, and we're going to clown you, though. Because I straight up had to do that on the last episode of the Spirit Report podcast, man. I had to do that. Like, hating-ass niggas, man. But, yo, go ahead, leave us those reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It helps the show grow. Doesn't cost you any money. Just 2 minutes of your time. Go ahead. Like, yo, I fuck with this. And there it is. That's all you got to do. So we really do appreciate everybody who does that, man. Real talk. But we are down a man. We are down a man tonight.
Man down.
Yeah, well, you know, the homeboy Cliff right now was dealing with some family issues. He could not be with us tonight. But the show must go on. We gonna carry it on for the homeboy Cliff. Get us some sports rigmarole and chat and talk and hot takes and all of that other shit going on, man. But so yeah,
that's shout out to Cliff. We with you, Cliff.
Shout out to the homeboy Cliff, man. Real talk. But so check this out, Walt. What you been up to, man?
Same old, man. Happy that the weather breaking. Hey, we start to see a little bit of sunshine this week, man. People start going crazy.
Oh yeah, I was one of them.
Hey, did you wind up outside in the shorts on a 60-degree day?
No, I did not.
Think you were that damn crazy.
I did not. It rained on the day that it was 63 degrees here in Detroit. So, you know, no, I did not go out in no shorts and nothing like that. It actually didn't even really feel like 60 degrees. I mean, it was warm.
It didn't.
But it didn't feel 60 degrees warm. It kind of felt like, it felt more like 40 something degrees warm, you know. But that didn't stop our white brethren from going out there with their white with their motherfucking shorts and flip flops on and shit. Like, man, it'd be funny.
You know it.
Because they be having on shorts and flip flops, but then they have on like a fucking winter coat or
a hoodie. Or like, they got on a hoodie. They got
yeah, man.
Like, a Scully on and everything.
Like, what you doing, bro? Like, I think you're confused. I think you might be a little bit confused with your weather choices and everything and your clothing choices. But yeah, man, other than that, man, it's. I didn't do a whole lot, you know, on that 60-degree day. What about you?
I didn't do a whole lot either, man. I worked. I think, as a matter of fact, I think after I got out of work that day, man, I slept a lot, man. I was tired that day, man. I think I got a nap in.
See, Friday is usually my nap day. Friday is my nap day because I know I ain't got nowhere to be the next day. So I usually come home from work, and I take a shower, and then, like, I'll sit up on the couch for a minute, and my wife just be like, go in the bed and lay down, man. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Just go lay down, man. And I'll take that nap for about a good 3 hours, get back up. And the fucked up part about naps, though. So, okay, so here's the thing. We're getting older, right? We're getting a little bit older. So I do know that I need this sleep. But it's been so many times, man, where I took that nap, got in the bed about 5, took that nap, and I've always contemplated just saying fuck it and just staying there for the rest of the day.
Yep. Yep. That's normally how it happens.
Be looking at that clock like, man.
Ain't even no point in getting up trying. It ain't even no point.
I could just lay here. But then I'd be like, nah, I might want to get up and play the video game or something. Nah, I might want to watch something. You know, I'm falling behind in my shows. Like, nah, I could be doing some podcast shit right now. And I'd just be like, I'd just be wanting to lay there, man. Like,
it sounds like we got the same struggles.
Yeah, man. Be working hard, bro. Be working hard.
I just came from Dave and Buster's with the kids, man. You know what I'm saying? Me and the kids, you know, we went out, had lunch or whatever, let them play the games and all that. You know what I'm saying? So I worked yesterday. It's supposed to be my day off, but I got a little OT in yesterday. So today was my only day off this week, man. I decided to spend it with the little ones.
Yeah, we just came back from Slow's in Corktown, and
I'm not familiar.
It's a barbecue okay. Spot in Corktown, like over by where the old train station was, like a little bit down the street from the old Tiger Stadium. It's a real popular barbecue spot over there. We went down there, and I forgot that it was St. Patrick's Day today, and so you know, there was a lot of St. Patrick's revelers down that way, man. Like, parking, we lucked up on the parking, though. I found a decent parking spot, man, really quickly. I didn't know if it was like legal to park there, but you know, I parked the car. I parked there, man, and
Dave and Buster's was packed too.
Yeah, man, it's St. Patrick's Day weekend and whatnot. I know it's a whole bunch of people that got tomorrow off and whatever. I got tomorrow off too, man. I got to go to jury duty tomorrow. I'm not going to work. Yeah, man, I ain't had jury duty in a long time, man. I might have been like 21 last time I had jury duty, and it was in Cook County.
I ain't never.
You ain't never had it?
Nope.
You registered to vote, man. You be out here voting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I this will only be the second time, man. And I, like I said, last time I might have been like 21. So, like, maybe what, 17 years ago was the last time I went. And, like, when I went the first time, like I said, this was in Cook County, Illinois, right? So, it just so happened to be a capital murder case. They were thinking about putting old boy on death row. And, you know, they bring you in. Like, first of all, they had you sitting around all fucking day. So luckily I brought a book and stuff like that with me. This is before cell phones was really a thing. And I was reading or whatever. And when they finally brought me into the courtroom, you know, to ask me the questions as to whether or not I was going to be on the jury or not, because it was a capital murder case, it was like, they asked me, did I believe in the death penalty? And I was like, nope. And then they asked me, would I be able to fairly judge this case for, I forget what the fuck the reason was, and I said no, because I wasn't trying to be on the jury. And they asked me, why did I say that? I said, because my uncle is locked up right now on murder right now. Which was true, you know what I'm saying? My uncle was locked up on a murder charge, man. So you know,
you were morally conflicted.
I was like, yeah, man, I can't do it. And as soon as they said, okay, you're dismissed, and I never saw jury duty again until I was actually supposed to go on the 21st and forgot. I straight forgot. They sent the letter in the mail, was like, yeah, Mr. Spade, you got 2 days from the time of receipt of this letter to respond and reschedule, or there'll be, matter of fact, I got the shit right here. Where's that damn letter, man? Let me tell you what this official shit they told me. It's like, our records indicate that you were scheduled for jury services on the date noted above and you failed to appear for services as instructed. You must contact this office within 2 days of receiving this postcard to reschedule your jury duty. Then they give you the instructions, like you can call them or you can hit up the website. It says, click on jury services and online questionnaire. Failure to comply with the jury summons may result in fines, imprisonment, or other court sanctions as outlined in the laws of the state of Michigan. So, you know, I was like, oh, shit. Let me go ahead and get on this line online real quick and reschedule this shit, because I don't need no problems. Nigga need to go to work. Nigga need to go pay some bills. Like, nah, man, we don't need them problems, B. So, yeah, I went on ahead and rescheduled, and I got to go tomorrow, man. It's crazy.
I think I've escaped it, not due to the fact that, you know, over the course of the past, 15, almost 20 years or so, man, I haven't been living in the same state. You understand what I'm saying? So it was, you know, the move, I think the shuffling around kind of, you know, keeps me out of that loop.
That might have something to do with it. I don't know. Yeah. But your day will come soon, son.
I'm sure it will. Let's just hope it's not a capital murder case.
Hey, either way, man, like, look, I ain't got time for this, man. Like,
right.
And that's sad, man, because we should all want to do our civic duty and shit. We be talking about them jurors, and we're like, man, how this motherfucker get off? And it might be like some police doing some foul shit, and I could be the one motherfucker to be like, hey, man, nah. His ass going to jail, son. Like, if it's like, nah, fuck that. Fuck police. His ass going to jail. If it's got anything to do with me, like, nah, he did that shit. Guilty than the motherfucker. Straight up. So, nah, man.
What you drinking on?
I'm drinking one of my tried and trues as of late, man. I'm drinking on some Sheboygan Brewery Company Blood Orange Honey, man. I'm drinking some of this here, man. Orange Honey, man. I need to stop. These shits give me a headache. But they so good. They so good. But they give me a headache.
The headache ain't worth it. I got the Dos Equis on chill. It's on its way upstairs, though.
Oh, man. You had another beer run? Another late beer run.
Yeah. Well, no, it was warm, so you know I had to let it let it get cold real quick.
All right. So yeah, man, that's what I'm drinking on. That's what we doing. It's time to get into some motherfucking sports, bro. It's time to get into some sports. So
let's do it.
I'm gonna let you kick it off, man. What you want to talk about with us tonight?
All right. So I came across this article, right?
Yeah.
And This is for my fellow Pistons fans out here. You know, it ain't many of us in the world, but for those who are paying attention to the show, for a certain amount of time, you know, over the course of the past few years, people been wondering, like, damn, what's taking the Pistons so long to rebuild, man? What's taking the Pistons so long to get, you know, get that them key players that they need? Well, I came across this article about a few former players that's now signed to Ice Cube's Big Three League coming up. And among those few players were Joe Smith and Joe Johnson and Josh Smith. Uh-huh. And come to find out, Josh Smith, his last year, the Pistons gave him a 4-year contract in 2013. But due to the fact that he couldn't get along with Drummond and Monroe, they decided to release him. They gave him a $54 million contract. Now, here's the kicker. In order to release Josh Smith, they had to use the NBA stretch provision. And this is what the article said. They had to use the NBA stretch provision to release him, mm-hmm. taking the remaining years of his contract and multiplying it by 2. They released him in 2000 and what? Was it 15, something like that?
Does it say in
the article? It was 2014 and 15 season was his last season with the Pistons or whatever.
So 4 years ago.
For the past couple years, Josh Smith been still collecting the goddamn check from the Detroit Pistons. Hmm. And this is why we ain't got the money to pay for the players necessary that we need to go along. We just wasting poor Drummond's career away because we can't get him a good that goddamn guard. We can't get him no good guards, no good help. You know, it's just like all these players that they signed, they getting mid-level players. Every contract, either they getting rookies, they drafting rookies, or they giving mid-level players big-ass contracts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man.
Well,
what kind of dumbass mistake was that?
Here's the thing. It is the Detroit Pistons, okay?
Facts.
And one of the reasons why the Detroit Pistons pays a player like a Josh Smith that amount of money is because Detroit isn't necessarily a destination town when it comes to where guys
I get that.
To play, come play ball, right? Like, this isn't, like, the sexiest motherfucking place in the league to go. They want to go to L.A. They want to go to New York. They want to go to Miami. Those sorts of towns. So that plays a factor into how much money – like the Pistons or like most of your like mid-tier teams, you know, small market teams, they tend to like overpay for a lot of these players because these guys don't really want to come to those towns to come play, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. The other thing is the fact that, like, yo, this guy effectively he's not about to be playing in anybody's NBA, right? Like, he's pretty much done. This is what you get when you have guaranteed contracts, right? Like, his money is guaranteed. Whether he was, like, I know you was talking about he's going to be playing in the Big Three and stuff, and they were making a deal about it in the article that he's going to be in the Big Three. But, yo, he's not going to be on anybody's NBA roster. His money was fully guaranteed whether he played ball or not. He was going to still be at the crib collecting the check. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not sure how his pay works out into the salary cap for the current Detroit Pistons now. I do know this, Andre Drummond, he's no longer the star of the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin is. Andre Drummond is number 2 on that squad, and I think maybe Reggie Jackson is number 3 on that squad as far as like the hierarchy of who's the leaders of that squad, right, you know, as it stands right now. But when it comes to a player like Josh Smith and a lot of these mid-level players getting all this money, especially when they're playing for, mid-market and small-market teams, yeah, they're going to get paid because those teams can't really draw the guys there because this isn't a destination spot. You're going to find that out in, like, Milwaukee, too. Like, Milwaukee is going to have a time trying to keep the Greek Freak. They're going to have a time trying to keep him there. I mean, they win in ball games, but it's going to be hell for them. They're going to pay a shit ton of money to keep the Greek Freak in Milwaukee. That just is what it is right now.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, their times. Milwaukee's time is going to come where they're going to have to make some decisions when it comes to their wallet as well. but it saddened me, and I'm glad you said what you just said when you said you're not sure how Josh Smith's contract is affecting the Pistons salary now. That kind of, you know, made me feel a little bit better, even though it's still money on the books. So it's got to be affecting it somehow. You know what I mean?
He may be accounting towards some of their salary cap. I doubt it because he's not on the roster. He's not even a roster player. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not on their roster. Truth be told, another team could very well pick him up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not real like sure what the rules are salary wise for if he decides to play in the NBA again, who's responsible for those paychecks that he's going to get paid. I'm not sure how that works right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands, the dude ain't played with the Pistons and going on 4 or 5 years now. It's been a while. He's not on their roster at all. So the fact that he's still getting paid money is more so like, to me, it just sounds like a mere technicality that, like, okay, this is how they structured it so that they could pay him his money that he's guaranteed while also being able to move forward as a team, when it comes to building their squad. Because truth be told, it wasn't just this Josh Smith signing that kind of crippled the Pistons, man. Van Gundy made a whole lot of questionable fucking
Van Gundy did, yeah. And they gave Van Gundy kind of too much money because they gave him 2 jobs.
Well, they gave Van Gundy all of the power. See, this is another thing, too, with a lot of the NBA teams. A lot of these coaches are trying to not only be the coach, but they're also trying to be the general manager. So they're basically trying to make it as almost as if it's like a college program where not only am I the coach, but I'm the general manager, and all of this shit runs through me. So you really don't have anybody to complain to. So, like, you know how sometimes players will go to upper management and be like, what, man, you got to get rid of this guy. Well, if I am upper management, you can't have that same conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to figure another way out. And so now with the league becoming, the players are exerting more independence and more power within the league, it's becoming a lot more difficult for these teams to justify giving these coaches all of this power and not necessarily showing or reaping any results from it. Like, you saw what happened in New York with the New York Knicks. When they gave Phil Jackson had all of the power in New York. Now he had one great draft pick. He got, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, but after that, it was like he pretty much ran that squad into the ground.
So, yeah,
as great as a coach as he was for the Bulls and for the Lakers, that Knicks thing was fucking terrible. So
a disaster.
Yeah, man. So
a disaster.
And I'm getting some more of that popping sound. I don't know what that is, but. We had another topic, and like I said, tonight is going to pretty much be all NBA, all basketball talk tonight, man. The homeboy Cliff kind of wanted to talk about this, and I did want to kind of hop on this as well. So I'm gonna go ahead and like read the story. This comes out of SBNationRadio.com, and there's this story on here. Actually, this is actually a pretty fucking old story that Cliff brought us here. This shit says January 20th, 2017. But I'm going to read this shit anyway, man. It says Robert Parrish.
It was still interesting. It was still, even though it was old, it was definitely interesting.
So Robert Parrish said that Jordan isn't the greatest of all time. And the reason why he isn't the greatest is because he didn't beat great teams. All right. First thing first.
Robert.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says, among the NBA's most faithful and fans who lived through the era, there are murmurs of how the GOAT had a kryptonite in the 1980s. Most NBA fans and media are quick to give Jordan a pass, though, because he was young, didn't have much of a team around him, and hadn't yet developed into the 5-time MVP he'd eventually be. Players like Robert Parrish, who played and lived through that era, don't seem to share that rationale. Let's see. Parrish said, now, Michael was great in his era, but you think about this. Michael didn't beat great teams, in my opinion. Parrish told Elvin Hayes in the post on SB Nation Radio, when Larry, Kevin, and myself were in our heyday, he couldn't beat us. He couldn't get past the Pistons until Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas got old. He couldn't beat the Lakers in their prime. A young Jordan struggled to beat the legendary teams of that decade. Now, first things first, I'm going to ask you what you think about that quote.
There is some weight to what he's saying, however, we can play that game in every era of basketball because, for the most part, you only have a few guys who come to the league, even the stars. You only got a few guys that come to the league and go bananas and win championships and such right off the wall. And a lot of that goes to what team you get drafted to, you know, or what coach you get drafted under, or whatever the case may be. Cause you know, you can be a hell of a player, you know, a diamond in the rough, and you wind up getting drafted to a team that's already damn near on their way, and you can be that one spark that Dwayne Wade for the Miami Heat, for example. You understand what I'm saying? But for the most part, a lot of players, most superstars, you know, it takes them 4 or 5 years or so before when they get to the league, before they actually, you know, fully develop into the player that they're supposed to become. So we can play that game with Robert Parrish. Now, Robert Parrish, you're saying that Michael Jordan couldn't get past you guys at a certain era in the 80s or whatever, his first few years there, and couldn't get past the Pistons or whatnot when he was young. But let's see how, okay, Robert Parrish, when the Celtics was winning all those damn championships, who were y'all beating? You understand? Like, who were y'all beating? I understand y'all, they beat the Lakers a couple times, but before then, who were they beating? They was winning all them championships, man. When the NBA became,
they beat the Phoenix Suns. I believe they were in the finals against the Houston Rockets at one point with a young Hakeem Olajuwon. They won 3 championships in the '80s. They weren't the team of the '80s, but they were like the team of the '80s.
And the point I'm trying to make is Robert Parrish and Larry Bird and them cats winning championships like that in the beginning of their careers?
No. No,
exactly.
They were not. Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, and like as a Chicago Bulls fan living in the Detroit area, I am much familiar with this sort of. I'm much familiar with this sort of argument, right? Because it's a whole lot of Pistons fans around here who would say that like the Bulls didn't beat anybody. The Bulls didn't, like, you know, out of the championships that they won, they didn't face any great teams. And this is only like. It's funny because you can only play the teams that are in front of you.
Right? Exactly.
Like, you can only beat the teams that, like, so if the Bulls make it to the finals, and it's almost a mere formality, at a certain point it was like a mere formality that the Bulls are going to the finals. It's not their fault that they had to play against the Seattle Supersonics. It's not their fault that they got to play against the Phoenix Suns. It's not their fault that they got to play the Utah Jazz twice. It's not their fault that they played the Lakers in the finals. Like, they had no control over who they were playing in those NBA finals, correct?
Right.
So, one of the things that I thought was very interesting about this particular quote was the fact that he said that he couldn't beat us in the 80s. Yeah, y'all had 3 Hall of Famers on that squad. Jordan had fucking nobody. He had fucking nobody. Robert Parrish is in the Hall of Fame. Larry Bird is in the Hall of Fame. Kevin McHale is in the Hall of Fame. All 3 of those dudes were Hall of Fame front court players. Jordan had nobody at the beginning of his career. I think, Scottie Pippen, I believe, maybe got drafted in 88. Horace Grant, maybe 88, 89, around that time, before, like, Jordan actually had a supporting cast that would fit his style of play. So it wasn't until Jordan had the pieces around him where he was able to compete against these other teams in the East, like the Pistons. The other part about this where he said he wasn't able to beat the Pistons until they were old, right? So I looked it up. You know how I do this. I looked it up. I looked it up because I hear this a lot. People, especially being here in Detroit, like, you hear this shit a lot. Niggas in Detroit be swearing the Pistons was old as fuck by the time Mike beat them. Joe Dumars was 28 in 1991. 28.
Facts hurt.
Isaiah Thomas was 30 in 1991, the year that the Bulls swept their asses right on the fuck up out of here, and they never beat them again in the playoffs. Like, man, I don't think the Pistons even, like, played the Bulls again in the playoffs after that. Like, it was a wrap. He totally demolished their asses, right? Also, I looked up when exactly, because Larry Bird came into the league, I want to say he came in 1980. And, like, the Celtics traded for Robert Parrish. Robert Parrish came into the league in 76. So Robert Parrish already had, like, 4 or 5 years underneath his belt. His first All-Star game was in 82. Mike wasn't even in the league yet. He was already an All-Star center before Mike was in the league. So I'm thinking, like, So y'all had two all-stars already and Mike had nobody, and you trying to make that as a demerit that Mike didn't beat y'all because y'all had two fucking all-stars already? He had no, he was playing with Dave Corzine and motherfucking Reggie Theus. The fuck, man.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Robert should have sat on that, man.
Here's the other thing, man. So I like, people like to talk about the Lakers as if the Lakers were some scrubs when the Bulls beat them. Magic Johnson had won the NBA MVP award the year before.
Facts.
The year before they played against the Bulls, Magic Johnson was the NBA's MVP. You know who the MVP was that the year the Bulls won? Jordan. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so it becomes this thing, man. It's like, well, he didn't play against nobody. I mean, yo, Portland went like toe to toe with those same Los Angeles Lakers.
Portland had a squad, man.
Hey, Portland had been to the finals like two of the last 3 years when they played against the Bulls and the Pistons.
The Pistons beat them once, didn't they?
The Pistons played them the first time, and then the Bulls had to play them the second time. Right. They won a championship. So both times, the Lakers and the Blazers were the two teams that the Bulls and the Pistons had to beat in order to win their first two championships. Right?
Super facts.
So then you got like Phoenix. You know, they had Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, Oliver Miller,
Kevin Johnson.
Tom Chambers was on that squad.
I don't think Tom Chambers
was a scrub. I don't think Kevin Johnson was a scrub. Like, they might not necessarily been Hall of Fame caliber players, but they weren't fucking bums.
They definitely weren't scrubs. Like, hell no.
Think about that Seattle Supersonics team. In 96, they had fucking Detlef Schrempf. They had
Sam Perkins,
who was also on that Lakers team at the Bulls.
On that Lakers team, facts.
Like, I mean, like, you, and then you look at the Hall of Fame duo of Karl Malone and John Stockton, probably one of the more prolific duos of all time in the league. So
with Brian Russell.
With Brian Russell, but, you know, whatever. I don't really count him. But but the point that I'm making is that I'm very familiar with this argument. I'm just surprised that somebody like a Robert Parrish would say these things, considering that 96-97 team, Robert Parrish was like riding the coattails of Mike winning himself a fourth championship. Because, he hadn't won another championship since them Celtics won them three in the 80s, but he rode them coattails. Him and John Sally did that shit. Both him and John Sally been taking digs at Mike. Both of them were riding the coattails of Mike and Scotty and Dennis Rodman on that second three-peat. Both of them rolled the bench and got themselves some extra rings. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really weird, like, listening to this shit coming from these assholes, man.
Yeah, Bob. I'm gonna call you Bob. Bob, keep that shit to yourself, bro.
You know what it sound like, right?
Hey.
Oh, man. Hey.
I don't know what the fuck Robert Parrish was thinking about. Look, you know what?
Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Said nobody. Said fucking nobody, man.
No one.
Nobody.
Chill out, Bob.
But here's the thing. That was 2 years ago, so he may not even feel the same. but here's because there's a part of the article that I didn't read, and one of the things, because you know, one of the things that they said towards the end of the article was they asked him who he would consider the GOAT, and he talked about Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Will Chamberlain. Right? I get it. They have legitimate claims. All three of those dudes have legitimate claims to being considered the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, nobody's ever going to come close to fucking Wilt Chamberlain's 100, you know, fucking point game. The man averaged over 50 points a game in one season. He was averaging like 20 some odd rebounds in 1 year. Like, those are fucking astronomical numbers. We'll probably never see those again. But it was also at a time where the game was predicated on the fact that you were a tall dude and the big man dominated the NBA in those times. As a matter of fact, even going towards the 80s, like the 80s and 90s, you pretty much, a lot of teams built around the fact that, or they tried to build around the prototypical dominant big man, right? It's why, like, back in the 90s, the trio of dominant big men were David Robinson, Shaq, and Hakeem Olajuwon. And to a certain degree, Patrick Ewing. For a long time, it was Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson. Those were considered the top three big men in the league. And then Shaq came along and then, like, kind of
right.
Wrecked shop or whatever. And as you've seen going forward, the emphasis on the big man has kind of been diminished. In the league. Like, so now teams weren't necessarily building around the big man, especially around the time with like Jordan and Drexler and Magic. I would even say Magic, because Magic was, he was sort of a big guy. He was 6'9". You know what I'm saying?
He was 6'9".
But he ran the point. He was an unorthodox player at the time. We had probably never really seen anybody play like that at his size in like the 70s and the 80s, right? So, like when Jordan came in, Jordan was probably one of the most dominant wing players the league had ever seen. And he totally switched up how the league looked at building a team and who they could build a team around, because teams were still looking to build around the big man. You think about, who was that? Not David Robinson, but Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Like, I remember when Tim Duncan was like at Wake Forest, I said, whoever drafts Tim Duncan is going to win the chip. Right. I said this back in 96, 97. Like, yeah, Tim Duncan.
You know who else was on Tim Duncan hard back then?
The Celtics.
Shout out to Henry Allen, man. Henry Allen called Tim Duncan career damn near back in the day.
The Celtics. Man. I remember the Celtics were tanking like a motherfucker back then. The Celtics had Rick Pitino as coach. They also had two picks within the top 10. They were tanking, trying to get that first pick, and they tanked. Didn't get the first pick. They ended up getting, I think, the third and the sixth. And those third and sixth picks ended up being Antoine Walker. And I forget who the sixth pick was.
I remember Antoine Walker,
It might have been Chauncey Billups.
It might have been Chauncey.
Yeah, but, like, you know, again, you go back to, like, the way the teams looked at trying to and how they tried to build their teams. They usually tried to build from the inside out. And it was, like, players like Jordan – who kind of looked at who was the first, I would say, one of the first to actually win a championship who didn't have a dominant big man in the paint. Like, Bill Cartwright wasn't a dominant big dude. Like, that just, it wasn't a thing. Neither was Will Perdue. Neither was fucking Luke Longley. Neither was Bill Winnington. Neither was, like, none of these dudes were dominant big men. Like, I mean, the closest he came to a dominant big man was Horace Grant. And, I mean, Horace Grant was good, but he wasn't a dominant big man.
He wasn't nothing but a 15-foot jump shooter.
I mean, he was a good 15-foot jump shooter.
A hell of a good 15-foot jump shooter.
You can count on that jump shot. But the point that I'm making is, Horace Grant wasn't considered a dominant player.
Dominant big man,
Even when he was an all-star, he wasn't considered a dominant player. He was a very good role player who played his role very well. He went to Orlando, played that exact same role very well, got the Orlando Magic to the NBA Finals. He went to the Lakers and played very well for the Lakers over there. I think he won himself another chip while he was over there. So, yeah, man, like, Jordan was the first to do it without having a dominant big man. Because you think about it, Larry Bird had Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. You think about Magic Johnson. When he first came into the league, he had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on that team. Now, the year that they won that championship, Kareem was injured in those finals. But to get to that point, he still had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on that squad. The all-time points leader.
Still, to this day.
So, you know, like, I'm just saying, put some motherfucking respect on his name, man. On his name. I'm sick of you motherfuckers coming for the GOAT. I'm tired of it.
They coming for his head, ain't they?
They keep doing it, man. They keep doing it. But like I said, all I hear is,
oh, man. Hey.
Listen, when somebody surpasses the GOAT and takes that title, we, the fans of real basketball, will be the first son of a guns to let y'all know. Otherwise, cut the hate, man.
Here's the thing. I think LeBron was very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron is very close to it. I think LeBron is the greatest player of his generation. I think he's like right next to Mike. Close to Mike.
But he ain't gonna pass him though.
I don't see him pass. Because I think right now it's because of the fact that he's on that Lakers team now and he's so late in his career and they're not gonna make the playoffs this year. I think that, you know, he only has but so many chances to, you know, kind of like
I'll tell you my reason why LeBron will never pass Mike, because it's taking him too many seasons to do what Mike did in less seasons.
I don't know if that's fair.
Why not?
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, like, because I think there's a lot of different things that kind of come into play, man. Like, some of these things are beyond players' control. Like, you know, you look at that Lakers squad this year. I really feel like those Lakers would probably had made the playoffs if they weren't, you know, injury riddled all this year. Like, LeBron missed a significant portion of the year due to injury. Lonzo Ball missed a significant portion of the year due to injury. You had the trade, you know, the midseason trade debacle where they, like, everybody was kind of put up, you know, for trade or whatever, and, like, nobody got traded. I mean, now they got to come back to work for this team. That, like, they're like, you motherfuckers just trying to get rid of me a week ago. Now it's all good, right? So I think it was a lot of things that kind of happened that was beyond the players' control that kind of contributed to the fact that those dudes aren't in the playoffs right now. But also, you never really know. Yo, people, again, the Lakers are a destination spot. People want to go to L.A. to go play. Much different than, like, coming to Detroit to play, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Or playing in fucking Indiana. People want to go play for the Lakers.
Needs to be mad when they get traded to the D. Like, man, I got Detroit?
Yeah, man. So,
right up.
So I kind of feel like, you know, the Lakers will have an opportunity to build up around him. And he'll have an opportunity to win himself another chip. Now, here's the other thing. I still don't believe that him winning one more chip is going to, like, put him over the
push
top.
Push him past Jordan,
and
nope.
And there's a lot of people who believe that, like, if he wins one more chip with the Lakers, then that's going to put him over the top. And I just don't believe that.
I mean, it's a hell of an accomplishment to win championships with multiple teams. You know what I'm saying? Because that kind of gets you that reputation. Oh, everywhere he go, he bring chips. You know what I'm saying? So that's it's an accomplishment. But we talking about a dude that won three chips, took 2 years off, came back, won three more chips. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like at a point, like, Mike was just winning chips at will, bro. You know what I mean? Like, what did he play? 13 seasons?
Something like that. 13.
Yeah, 13, Brian in 16.
13 or 15 season, something like that.
Brian in 16, and he's just now passing Jordan in the scoring list.
Well, that's the other thing, too. So, you know, Mike was a scorer. That was, like, what he did. Like,
true. I give you that argument.
I
see where you're going.
You went to Mike to go get you some points. Like, LeBron James's game has never really been to go out there and get you 40 or 50 points a game.
No, he's never predicated his game on scoring. You're absolutely right.
He's been more of a distributor of the rock. You know what I'm saying? He's been more of a facilitator of the offense. So, like, you depended on LeBron James to kind of get everybody where they're supposed to be, and the offense kind of ran through him in that way. Scottie Pippen was like, kind of, you know, he kind of played that way where, like, the offense was kind of predicated upon him. But when it came time to, yo, we need some points on the board, you got the ball in Mike's hands, and Mike went on ahead and did what he did.
And did what he did, right.
I don't know if it's necessarily fair to be like, yo, well, it took him longer to get the same amount of points that Mike scored. He's just now passing them, and it took him more seasons to do it. I'm just saying, like, yo, that wasn't really his game. And the fact that it wasn't his game and he was still able to pass Mike, I think you got to tip your hat to him in that way, because he was able to – he's fourth on the fucking all-time scoring list, and he's not really predicated his
game. I've never been a LeBron fan. In fact, I've been like a LeBron – I've been one of the dudes driving the bandwagon of LeBron haters. I can't lie. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of them. I've never – even when he was in Cleveland before the decision and all that, I never liked LeBron after he knocked off the Pistons.
See, the only time I've ever really been salty at LeBron James, the only time I've ever been salty with LeBron James was when he made the decision and he decided not to come to Chicago. that's what pissed me off more than anything else, because, like, Chicago.
I've lately grown to love him, though.
Yeah, because Chicago had the bread, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had the squad already. He didn't even have
to. They did.
Like, you think about, they had Derrick Rose already. They had Taj Gibson. They had Joe.
Y'all definitely would have won a chip.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Y'all definitely would have won a chip.
We'd have won the motherfucking chip, man. We'd have probably had, like, three more
That's a fact.
Chips if LeBron James had come to Chicago.
Y'all had Joakim Noah.
We had a squad,
yeah,
man.
Y'all had the squad. Taj Gibson. Yeah, y'all had the squad.
We had the squad. We only needed that one more piece. And it could have been LeBron. It could have been Dwayne Wade, because he was toying with the idea too. And he was from Chicago. So it was like, oh, man, he ain't come. So, yeah.
Yeah, they played y'all.
They whiffed that year, and we ended up with Carlos Boozer. You know what I'm saying? So,
they played y'all. They played y'all.
Yeah, man. I appreciate them playing the Bulls that in that way. That's why, like, when they was playing against the Bulls, when the Heat were playing, I hated the motherfucking Heat. Oh, yeah, getting their ass, son. Yeah, man. That was the only time. That was the only time. But as a player, LeBron James, I've never had a beef with LeBron James as a player. I think he's a great player. I've always kind of rooted for him because there was so much pressure on him coming into the league before he got into the league. It was like everybody was talking about him coming being the next up. And I just hope the dude doesn't buckle under everybody's expectations. He's done none of that. Never buckled.
He's exceeded expectations, if you ask me.
He's exceeded a lot of expectations. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, a lot of people don't think so. A lot of people still, you know, expected him to do more. But I think LeBron exceeded expectation, if you ask me. And like I say, over the course of the past couple of seasons, especially his last season last year with Cleveland, man, I've grown to respect. Now, he's still not my favorite player, you know what I mean, or whatever. But I don't bash LeBron like I used to. I used to have a hatred for him. Mm. I don't got that hatred for him no more.
Well, all right then. Well, my bad. We turned that topic totally from like Mike being the GOAT to talking about LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But we about to move on to some more basketball shit. And this one actually has more social commentary than it does actual like basketball acumen and all this other stuff, right? Because we're going to talk about this altercation between Russell Westbrook and this fan in Utah, right? So I got this video. As a matter of fact, let me pull this video up so you guys can watch this with us. Hold on. Let me do this here. Whoops. Got too much shit going on over here. All right. So let me pull this video up and we're going to watch Russell Westbrook. We're going to watch him respond to something that this fan said to him while he was on the bench. Check this out, y'all.
I'll fuck him up. He said, no. I promise you. See, I'm playing. I swear to God. I'll fuck you up. You and your wife. I'll fuck you up.
Okay, so first things first. Anytime a nigga tell you he put that on everything he love, he dead.
That man ain't playing.
That man ain't playing with you.
That man ain't playing.
He dead ass serious on everything I love. The only thing that's not happening right now is this nigga ain't clapping between words. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
nigga,
on everything I love, cuz.
Everything I love. That's the only thing that's not happening right now. Okay, the video froze, but the audio continued to go, and I think they're just looping it over and over again. But yeah, man, so Russell Westbrook talked to that fan in that way, and a lot of people at the beginning were talking about, you know, maybe Russell Westbrook was a bit overzealous. He was out of line for talking to a fan in that way that, you know, is part of the game, is part of the heckling thing that fans do, that you can't let these fans get under your skin and much that way. A lot of folks are talking about, well, if it was such a big deal, then why aren't his teammates as agitated as Russell Westbrook is? Because you saw his teammates kind of sitting there just kind of observing what the fuck was going on. But nobody was just like, you know, it wasn't like a whole team got up like, hey, man, let's all go over there and whoop his ass. No, Russell's pretty much just like, nah, I'll fuck you up, man. Like, on everything mm-hmm. I love. Say it again. I will fuck you up. You know what I'm saying? So,
And your wife,
right? So, this guy actually did an interview with the local television crews down there in Utah, and I think I have that video as well. Let me see if I can find that. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find that. I know I got it. Yeah, here you go. His name is Shane Keisel. Shane Keisel. He's also a Trump supporter, so he's already a bitch.
How the fuck did you find that out?
How did I find that out? I didn't find that out. The internet found that out. He had like his Twitter and shit like became.
Oh yeah. I remember. Okay, yeah.
People
yeah.
found his Twitter and stuff. They was, you know, he was yeah. all his MAGA shit, and like he was really going at Russell Westbrook talking about his class and all this other stuff. It's kind of a dead giveaway. Like they be thinking they slick. They not fucking slick. You can tell who they are, dude. Like they ain't even got to wear the hat. You know who they is. So this is what he said. Let me pull this back up so you guys can watch this with us. Here we go. All right, so this is Shane Kizel, and this is his version of what happened of these events.
I mean, she was sitting down the entire time. Me and him were just, it was actually, we were kind of having fun, to be honest.
At least you thought you were having fun?
Yeah, he was smiling at one point, and there, I mean, there was a lot of people, because it was when, you know, Joe would come by and poked Paul George in the eye, and then Joe goes over and apologizes immediately. Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat. That's heat. And I'm like, well, you're going to need it. And then it turned into not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
I
no
never other... said a swear word to him. And everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him. Not one. So, like I said, initially I was like,
whoops.
I was like, oh, I'm talking with Westbrook, you know? I mean, the guy's one of the greats, but he's also classless. I don't care. He can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him, but don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man. I mean, never said a word to him. Her first NBA game ever.
And her last, because of your ass. And her last, because of your ass. So check this out. After this whole thing became, you know, it kind of blew up all over social media and everything. And like I said, you know, his social media, people found out who he was because the internet is un-motherfucking defeated. They found
man, look at the hat, bro. You can tell who he is by the hat, bro.
I'm telling you, this motherfucker be at home like this.
I'm mad you had that on cue.
I'm guaranteeing that motherfucker be having that shit on at the crib. You know what I'm saying? You know who these people are, man. They are not fucking slick. He was found out. And when he got found out on the internet, first thing he did, of course, was he tried to delete some of his stuff on Twitter and Instagram. He made his Twitter account private before he deleted it. And he was like, had his wife deleting everything, dog. Delete everything. We can't have
everything. No, all that shit.
No trace. Delete all that shit. Dead ass.
Spare got his producer hat on tonight, fellas.
I'm fucking saying.
Oh, man.
So, let me know, man. What you think about that whole situation? Because I got a lot of thoughts, but I want to hear yours first, man. All
right. I will say this. I agree with the down home American there. When he should have kept it between him. He shouldn't have brought his wife in it. But I don't know what his wife said. I don't know her actions or any of that. I do believe old boy lying when he says that his wife didn't say anything to him and she sat in her seat with her hands in her lap. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit. Because no man is going to say go out of his way to say something to you about I'll fuck your wife up too. If your wife's just sitting there with her hands in her lap. But I guess I would be the dude that'll tell the guy, you know, hey man, you know, your wife about to cause you to get an ass whoop. You're gonna have to take an ass whooping for your wife tonight. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. I wouldn't direct that towards her.
Yeah.
But cause that kind of make that's what made Russ look bad if you ask me. But everything else, as far as, you know, what he said to old boy, listen, this is not Russ's first go round with this type of shit, man. Russ, and especially in Utah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been known that those fans in Utah, you know, they're known to yell out racial shit and, you know what I'm saying, all kind of, you know, stuff like that. But it's Russ, man, you know, and he's been on record a million times in every interview telling the NBA and everybody else, like, hey, as a player, I don't feel protected. These fans get to come in here and say and do and act any damn way they want to, and we're not supposed to say or do anything about it. At the end of the day, this is a basketball game, and he a man first. You know what I'm saying? And I feel as though, this is my take, a guy making that kind of money that's that famous on that stage, knowing that there's cameras everywhere he turns in that building, for him to go out of his way to look up in that stands three rows up and tell dude, like, yo, I'll fuck you up. There wasn't no innocent shit said by that guy. You understand what I'm saying? I think that guy's definitely covering up his story. He's lying because we got Russ on tape, but we ain't got him on tape. With a video with him and his wife and how they were behaving and the words that they were saying. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Now, we see that video, then we'll get a clear understanding. But as like you alluded to earlier when you were talking about his Twitter page, after the incident, he goes and deletes all his prior Twitter posts and this and that, so the whole world can't see that he's a racist and, you know, and he says certain things or whatever. So that further lets me know, old boy said something out of pocket and Russ got in his ass. And the fact of the matter is, if he would have seen Russ walking down the street, he wouldn't say that shit. Mm-hmm. Yep. You are not gonna step. You're not gonna step to Russ like that walking down the street. Cause I ain't, and I ain't never been no punk, nigga. But I ain't trying to pick that fight right there, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it is. Yeah. You know, so I believe, you know, I'm on Russ' side with this one, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on Russ' side with this one, man.
So here's the thing, and this is something that I've talked about this on not just this show, but I've talked about this on the Span Report as well, right? And this has to do with the fact that there are fans of primarily football and basketball. The sports where black people or people of color dominate. You don't really see this much in hockey. Latin players kind of dominate the sport of baseball, but it's mostly like Latin players and a mix of Latin players and white players. Very like you've seen a reduction in black players in Major League Baseball. It's not as many of us as there used to be. But in basketball and football, these two sports in particular seem to have a contentious relationship with the fans. And part of the reason why they have these contentious relationships with the fans is because the fans are looking at these dudes as if these guys are just simply lucky to fucking be there.
Right? Yep.
So the fans are looking at these dudes like, you making all this money to play this kid's game. You should take what I give you. Like, you making too much money to be bitching about what it is. And I'm saying over here in the crowd, like, you should just let it roll off of your back. Like, could you imagine if somebody went to their job and talked as much shit to them as they talk to these NBA or football players at their job and how they would respond to it? And if somebody walked up to them and said, well, you should be professional in this particular moment, and they'd be like, man, fuck you. I'm going to kick your ass because I don't have to tolerate this shit. You know what I'm saying? There's also a sense of, like, a bit of a sense of ownership of these players. Because, again, like, they look at these players as if, yo, go out there and entertain me, right? You hear this a lot when, you know, like Laura Ingraham from Fox News talks about, you know, LeBron James should shut up and dribble. She's not trying to hear his opinion on social issues. When it wouldn't have been as big of an issue for Colin Kaepernick to go out there and kneel during the national anthem because these white dudes look at these black players as ungrateful, spoiled brats who are lucky to be making the millions of dollars that they're making playing these games. Never mind the fact that, like, yo, it's not particularly easy to be a professional football player. It's not particularly easy to become a professional basketball player. If it were, then there would be so many more of them. But there aren't. You know what I'm saying?
They put in the work,
They put in so much work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think you go, like, I used to think that I played ball a lot when I was younger. I played no ball compared to a lot of
guys
that are playing, like, professional basketball right now. Like, I played nowhere close to the amount of basketball these dudes would play. They eat, slept, and drank and shit basketball or football or what have you. That was what they dedicated their lives to. That's what they put their skill set to, and they became great at it. And because of the work that they put into it, they were able to get to those levels of the sport. And so you go to these games, and now these customers, these fans, they go to these games, and so now they're upset. They're upset with the fact that these players are making millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, this wasn't even a black player. I think it was Bryce Harper I forget what team he signed with, but he signed for $330 million. Signed for $330 million, and the first thing I saw people in the comment section of that story was, how am I going to afford to take my kids to the game? Right? These salaries.
I remember that.
These salaries are why I can't afford to take my kids to the game. When truth be told, it's not just the salaries, right? Because the owners are making money on every fucking thing else. The owners are making money on the naming rights of the stadium. The owners are making money on these overpriced ass hot dogs, these overpriced ass beers. These owners are making money off these jerseys that y'all buying, these jerseys that they're selling. They're making money off of like any other fucking paraphernalia that you have. Like, say you got some Detroit Lions coffee mugs and some shit like that. Yeah, you pay for that. And some of that money goes towards the payer, you know, paying this player his money in, you know, for his salaries or whatever. And not only that, you want to see that guy do what he does, which is why you pay the ticket prices that you do, because you want to be where he's at performing his fucking job. Nobody's paying that kind of money to come see you.
Facts.
So these people have this idea that because these players are making so much money, they're lucky to be there, and therefore you should be able to take whatever it is I dish out. The other part of this is because these players have so much visibility upon them, everybody feels like, well, I ain't got shit to lose. This is the whole internet aspect of it too, right? Because people get on the internet and they talk crazy to motherfuckers who they know can't get to them. And this is a manifestation of that. Like, you go out, like, you see people talking greasy to motherfuckers all day long on Facebook, on Twitter, on all these different websites and whatnot. And it's like, that's a real life manifestation of it. Because, hey, I talk in the chat room, or I talk on these sports articles all the time in the comment section. I talk like this all the time. But now here I am in front of this 6'5" dude, 235 pounds. I'm saying the same shit, only this time he heard me.
He heard me, right?
This time he heard me. And he's bearing down on me. He's looking at me. And right now he's talking about whooping my ass. And now I get to play as if he should just take it because I paid money to be here. No, nobody has to take any fucking disrespect. Nobody has to take verbal abuse because you decided that you wanted to go see a basketball game. You wanted to go see a basketball game. Watch the fucking game.
The fucking game.
Enjoy the fucking game. But there's that attitude, man. And it's so much ingrained in it. Like, what was that? Like, you ever notice how when there's a work stoppage in professional sports, most fans, because when we're talking about fans, we're talking about white people, most fans typically side with the owners, right? The players, a lot of times, are only trying to, like, I've always identified with the players because the players are the workers. The players are the people who, like, they're the ones who are actually the product. They're the ones who people come to see. They're the ones who put the, you know, who put the show on and everything else. They're the workers. But when it comes to white people and when it comes to them consuming their sports, they identify with the sports owner because, one, they identify with the team, not the player, right? And two, they always see themselves as, you know, well, I'm already white. I'm not that far from being the owner. All I got to do is only going to take one strike. You know, maybe if I win the lottery or something, or, you know, I come up with that one good idea, and I'll be right there. They identify with the owners, and they don't identify with the players, even though they're much more aligned with the players than they know. But the only reason they don't see that is because of that racial dynamic that they don't necessarily register in their minds. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of shit that goes into this. But by and large, man, like, fans, I think fans are starting to, I think the lines are blurring where fans are confusing their online interactions, their online personas with their real lives. And they go in front of these people in real life, and when they get a real life fucking reaction to the things that they're saying, suddenly they're the victim. And, you know, it's kind of indicative of where we're going as a society. We're like, yo, yeah, civility is kind of like going away. But people are just talking greasy, and they don't necessarily, they're not reaping the benefit. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not reaping the, they're not getting the repercussions from how greasily they're talking to their, what's that? They're not reaping the, like, they're not suffering the repercussions for talking greasily to people. That's what it is. And Walt just like kind of dipped out on me. There you go. Got any more thoughts on that, man? Hello? I believe we're having some technical difficulties with the homeboy Walt locked down. Yeah, it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. Walt will hopefully be back before it's time for us to get out of here for real. But of course, before we do, y'all know, wait, oh, here he is again. Let's see what Walt got to say. Let's see if he got something to say real quick before we do. Can you hear me now, man?
I can hear you now.
God damn, you got me on here like the Verizon commercial. Did you have any more thoughts on it?
I can hear you now, man. No, I mean, you pretty much summed it up, man. You pretty much summed it up. These damn fans, they got to understand when they buy these tickets, it doesn't give them a right to be assholes.
Yeah.
Period. It don't give you a right to be an asshole. Go to the stadium, you know, and then on top of it, it's kids, it's other families sitting around. You know, there's other families around. It's a father sitting next to you or right behind you. He got his kids there, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And I'll put you like this. I've been to NFL games. I was a season ticket holder for the Lions games where it's certain people in the crowd. You like everybody having a good time, and it's certain people in the crowd. It's like, damn. Like, leave. Like, everybody over here wish you would just fucking leave, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody over here wish, like, his kids over here. You drunk. They done served you one too many beers. You talking reckless. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Just cheer for your team, man. Drink your brew. Eat your hot dog. Sit the hell down, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is. Enjoy the damn game, man. You know? But, hey, one of these days, we're going to have a Malice in the Palace, too. And they're going to wonder why. Until these damn teams figure out a way to fix it, man.
And that's the thing, man. Like, even with the Malice in the Palace, that was like, that's been some years ago now. But like, even with that, man, like, people forget, like, the reason, like, as much as people were mad at, like, the players, and the players were suspended for, you know, extended a period
of time, they got beers threw on them.
They got beers threw on them. People was talking cat. Like, yo, and what other place do you think you can do that to somebody and think that nothing's going to happen to you? That's the thing. Like, you think that nothing's going to happen to you, but you can say whatever you want to these dudes and nothing's going to happen. And part of it is, you know that this guy has a lot to lose, right? Everybody knows.
That's what it is.
Everybody knows him. Nobody knows who the fuck you are. So if he does anything to you, like, yo, he may come out of like $40,000, $50,000. He might lose, you know, even more of that in, like, you know, game pay or whatever, because he's suspended from, you know, the games and whatnot. Like, he has a hell of a lot more to lose than you not being able to go to an NBA basketball game anymore. And that goes back to the jealousy of the fact that these guys make this kind of money playing these games, and these dudes believing that they're just simply lucky to be there. No, they work to fucking get there. That doesn't mean that when they're at work that you get to come there and disrespect them in their place of employment. And I always go back to, you would not allow that to happen at your fucking job. Like, if somebody came to your job talking greasy to you, you'd be all up in they shit. Rightfully so.
You should have chose to be a ball player instead of a dentist, motherfucker, if you wanted to make that kind of money.
Here's the thing. A lot of them did try to be ball players, and they couldn't.
They just couldn't.
They couldn't. That's the thing. That's the jealousy right there. So, yeah, man. It's time for us to get on up out of here just about. But, of course, y'all know what we do before we get up out of here.
Okay. We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, Walt?
I really don't really have any anything to wing it on, man. I just wanted to say for the second time on the row, Michigan lost to Michigan State.
That's actually three times.
Three times. You're absolutely right. Three times in a row, Michigan lost to Michigan State. We lost the Big Ten championship today. And I just want to give a solid middle finger to all the Spartan fans. That's it. How about that for a win? Because I know I'm going to hear shit for the rest of the week. So I'm going to go ahead and give y'all love right now.
Well, all right.
One time. Nothing but love. It's nothing but love from the Beer Chicken Pot. Nothing but love.
They should not have lost three times to the fucking Michigan State Spartans. But yeah, man, they lost three times. But yo, so here's what I'm winging it on. It's kind of an extension on this Russell Westbrook, Shane Kizer shit. And I'm winging it on Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock is a host over on Fox Sports. You know, he got booted from fucking ESPN.
ESPN, yeah.
Kind of a coon ass nigga, man. Like, Jason Whitlock is the kind of guy who does and says things to make racist white people feel comfortable. And this was his reaction to Russell Westbrook's reaction to Shane Kizer saying some really foul and crazy shit to him during that game. This is how he justified it.
And I said something about the knees, and then everything else is not suitable for work. But guess what? What is that? Because that's what Russell Westbrook.
But James Dolan banned a fan for work.
I got it.
He banned a fan.
And he's a pampered elite, just like Russell Westbrook.
Oh, shit.
And this whole mentality that now fans are so out of line, they're screaming things at us.
That's not what he's saying.
Oh, my God.
That's over-exaggeration.
Are you kidding me?
Saying.
I watched
that's
Raymond
not, that's
Felt.
Not what he said.
Oh, we're humans, and they're just saying anything to us. Are you kidding me?
It's work,
are you,
brother.
And again.
Respect
and again,
work.
I'm just going. I work, too, and have, throughout my entire journalistic career, have dealt with death threats.
Okay.
Real and some BS. It doesn't provoke me to go off and lose my mind.
Sometimes.
I've had drunk people confront me.
This shit keep buffering. I don't even think this is the right spot where I wanted to be at either. Hold on. Man, Comcast, this is like, if this was a commercial, y'all be like up shit's creek right now. Let me see if I can like reduce the like quality of the video or some shit. Jesus Christ.
And a fan for work.
I got
for,
it.
For less.
I got
he,
it.
He got to the point he said, about that. But, one, no, you, show,
oh, yes,
you showed
yes.
a montage.
Okay, never mind. All I'm going to say is this. Jason Whitlock is a whole ass bitch. a whole ass bitch. Jason Whitlock was on this show. And he spoke about how black people can't use this as an excuse to react in the way that Russell Westbrook did. Let me tell you something, man. One, everybody has their line, right? You can't dictate to someone else how they're going to react to something that they feel is disrespectful. How they feel is above, you know, beyond the pale. You can't tell somebody how to react to the way they're being treated, right? You can say to yourself, maybe he overreacted in that moment. But to then say, like, the thing that pissed me off about this was the fact that he extrapolated this as if this is an overall black experience. Like, all black people are overreacting to racism. Nigga, fuck you. You sellout coon ass bitch. Jason Whitlock. This ain't even like the Sparing Report, but he gets the ass out of the week on the Beer and Chicken podcast right now because of the way he reacted on this particular segment to what Russell Westbrook did. I hate I didn't have a part where I really wanted to talk to, you know, like that I really wanted to talk, but it's getting late and I don't feel like looking for it and scrolling through the video and it's buffering and the whole shit. Fuck Jason Whitlock's bitch ass. A whole ass bitch. This episode was like this close to being named Jason Whitlock. A whole ass bitch. Just so he can see that shit And when he Googles his name, nigga, it comes up. Jason Whitlock, whole ass bitch. It had been right there within everything else he been doing lately. But yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
My man's bad.
Fuck out of here, man. But before we get out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them on the show, respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live on Facebook, you can call us and we will talk, you know, we chop it up with you while we're doing the show. Also, let me remind, like, because I'm doing this all wrong, man. Some of y'all are like, yo, Span, how the fuck do I watch the show live on Facebook? So let me let y'all know how you do that. You go to the Span Report on Facebook. Like, search it up. It's a page. You like the Span Report page on Facebook. And boom, you are there. Anytime we go live, you will be notified of it. Anytime we, like, have anything, like, to post for the show, you will be notified of it. You can watch the show right there on Facebook. You can watch replays on our website. But if you want to watch it live, you can watch it live on the website too. But if you
in there,
if you don't want to go, if you don't want to leave Facebook, go like the Span Report page on Facebook and you can watch these shows live and you can call that hotline at area code 313-288-0485 and you can be a part of the show while we're doing this live as we do it, right? Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here live and reply to you guys here live on the show. Also, hit us up with an email, I'm sorry, a review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those reviews are the one, the five-star reviews, the five-star reviews. We only do five stars. Five stars are the ones that get read here on the show. Okay, so let me stop lying. If you leave us less than five stars, we will read your shit. But we gonna clown the fuck out of you if you leave us less than five stars. I'm gonna just say that right now. Leave those five-star reviews. Those are the ones that we appreciate, right? we appreciate y'all with the five-star reviews, right? You leave those five-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher, man. It really does help the show grow. It lets everybody know why you fucking with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast, man. And, you know, it doesn't cost you a dime, man. Now, you can go to our website, www.beerchickenpot.com. You can go to the website and you can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls over there. You can leave comments over there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Also, you can hit up the store while you're there. Get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a coffee mug, get yourself a mouse pad, man. We got some stuff over there. Go ahead and get yourself some merchandise over there at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, of the Beer and Chicken Podcast at the Span Report Podcast Network store. And yeah, man, we really do appreciate everybody who does that. And yo, man, put your like some pictures up of y'all like rocking your shit. That'd be cool. Real talk. But it's almost time. Well, basically it is time for us to get the fuck up out of here. And we will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam. Peace.
See you next week.
Yes, sir.